Okay, here we are back. Another very interesting hour ahead. Lots on the table here. Back with us this evening is Father Paul Kramer, who, in my opinion, would have risen to just about as high as he wanted to, had he wanted to play ball with the corrupt Catholic hierarchy, which is now so communist and perverted and disgusting, it's unrecognizable. We have an anti-pope sitting in the big chair in the Vatican there. We've had the former pope literally held prisoner for the last 9 years of his life. What a joke. 1.3 billion people are being maneuvered into the new global religion. We'll see how many actually make the transition. Hello, Father Kramer. Welcome back.
Oh, it's great to be back. Circumstances are becoming more and more toxic in the Vatican, unfortunately.
Toxic is the right word, as in terminally toxic. This is bad. The Church of Rome, real Catholicism, real Christianity, is being battered into, I won't say submission yet, because there are still people like you out there fighting for it, but it's not good out there. It's not good at all. I guess we can start with anything you'd like, but the big story that seems to be capturing headlines is about Archbishop Vigano, as you pronounce it, and we'll go with that, and his allegedly being called to the Vatican to be ousted, or what, something similar. You want to tell our listeners what's going on with that and where we are right now, and does it really matter? And if it does, why? Go ahead.
Archbishop Vigano is being accused of being a schismatic, which is to say that he has separated himself from the Catholic Church. And this is worse than a bad joke, I have to say, because I've written two volumes where I've gone deeply into it, very systematically, showing that Bergoglio and those people surrounding him in the Vatican have already separated themselves from Catholicism in a very visible manner. They have created a new church that is a false church. It is different from the Catholic Church. Bergoglio did say that his church will be a synodal church, and it will be a different church. And when he said different church, he wasn't joking, because it is a different church from the Catholic Church. It's a false church because it has a different faith, a different religion, and a different moral code, and everything contrary to both the Old and the New Testament. It is not Christian. It is, if I can use the phrase of Pope Saint Pius X, who died in 1914. He's created a new religion, which will be a global religion. It's going to be a union of religions, attempting to unite all the churches, but in fact, it will be neither Catholic, Protestant, nor Jewish. It will be something very perverse, something very degenerate, something, if I can not think of a better word, it will be something pagan, heathen. It will be something...
Perversely pagan. How's that? Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, something very perverted. Now, you have Bergoglio in the Vatican, who brings in and treats as honored guests all the perverts, all the most notorious exponents of criminality. Like I say, treated them like honored guests, and priests and bishops who uphold the Catholic faith and who are leading apostolic lives, they are the ones who are being removed from office. Bergoglio has lost all credibility, I have to say. It's like Al Capone shooting down at cardinals and bishops and uh-huh. saying that that they're evil men.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I get it.
But who is Bergoglio? We have to understand Bergoglio has been favorably receiving people who live the so-called gay lifestyle, people who live what we in the Catholic Church would call a perverted lifestyle that promotes sodomism. These are sins against nature,
right?
Sexual perversion. In the United Nations agenda, they would call it sexual diversity. But in Christianity, they say that
it's sad.
Sexual.
I'm sorry. It's so sad. You're right. Diversion. That's a good thing. Uh-huh. Right. You're
sexual
diverse.
Perversion. And
wow.
But they call it sexual diversity, as if it's it's something perfectly all right. Now, in the Bergoglian Vatican, they allow priests and bishops who are attached to this lifestyle. They give them free rein, provided that they don't openly proclaim that they are living this way of life. As long as they say it's a great way to be, it's a great way to live, there's nothing wrong with it, it's perversion. And Bergoglio himself does not openly admit to being that way. But the Archbishop Viganò says that he has been informed by a man who, as a young man, had been personally abused by Bergoglio himself. Now, he has not revealed the identity of the victim.
Right. And this is the only allegation that has so far been public. Now honestly, and I'm not one to quickly count someone out, but this guy is obviously, if you wanted an image of somebody who was a degenerate pedophile creep, and I know he can't help how he looks, but this guy would fit the bill. Central Casting, send us a pedophile creep. That's the kind of person they send. It's all about image, you know, we get it. But he's bad news. I think he has a career of these kinds of things behind him that are carefully covered up. I wouldn't be surprised at all.
Well, I am personally not a witness to anything like this, so
understood.
I have to be careful in what
I
say.
Say anything you don't believe in. I'm just speaking for myself. Yeah.
But what I will say is this. There was a man who claimed to have had an illicit relation with Pope Paul VI. That was a rather very public scandal. And Paul VI was very swift to denounce that and said, no, it is false. It is not true. Bergoglio has not done so. He's not responded by saying that the accusation is false. Instead, he is going to lower the boom on the whistleblower, and he's going to make a juridical process against Archbishop Viganò, declare him schismatic, excommunicate him, and basically send uh-huh. him to the ecclesiastical equivalent of a hydroelectric plant in Siberia.
Got it. But when you look at it realistically, what is Viganò being expelled from? A sewer, a wreckage of what the Catholic Church used to be. I'm surprised at the amount of progress that Bergoglio has made in completely retooling and revamping the formal Catholic religion. He's made more progress than I thought he would, apparently. This is not good. This is a bad situation. That hopeful, I talk often, or I have, about an uprising. It hasn't happened yet. And I'm not sure that it will. You got 1.3 billion against, what, 20, 30 people? Maybe 40? And what's happening? We're not seeing what I had hoped. I guess out of ignorance, I just don't know. But the game is being changed around them all the time.
Bergoglio is the leader of a vast army of perverts and degenerates who have lost their Catholic faith, who have entered the ranks of the clergy, because they felt called by God to preach the gospel and live a priestly life, but because this life that they've chosen is to give them access to hierarchical power, so that they can exercise their narcissistic urge to trample on others and place themselves at a high rank. And this has been going on for a long time. So that is why Bergoglio has been able to succeed in his agenda, because this has been going on before he ascended to the level where he is at, which is to say, a usurper of the papal throne.
Correct.
He has no...
And that usurpation was completely condoned and engineered from higher levels. Don't give that up for a second. This is all controlled. That invisible group, that cabal, that regime that's running the big show is doing all this. And Bergoglio is only too happy to comply. He gets to be Pope. Big ego trip. How big of a role is Fernandez playing in this reformation, I use the term advisedly, of the church? Is he one of the dark figures involved? He must be.
Oh, yes. Tucho Fernandez is the right-hand man. He is the one who carries out the dirty work. The major figure, because basically all of his henchmen are carrying out the dirty work now.
Right.
Going down to even to the level of the apostolic nuncios, which are... Nothing apostolic about them. They are an army of basically communists, and they are attacking the Catholic Church the way Stalin and Mao Zedong attacked the Catholic Church in their days. But even worse, it's even worse, because I remember in the Gulag Archipelago of Alexander Solzhenitsyn,
right.
Where it was related about a Soviet trial, where a man who had been accused of something like anti-Soviet
agitation,
anti-Soviet agitation, or whatever. And the man said, "I am totally innocent." And the judge said, "No one is totally innocent except Pope Pius," meaning Pius the 12th.
So interesting comment.
Even the Soviet judge admitted there was something, something noble, something holy about the Pope, who was Pius XII, Eugenio Pacelli at the time, the venerable Pope Pius XII. Mm-hmm. But anyone who opposes this pervert in the Vatican won't be acknowledged for being anything Christian, anything holy, anything Catholic. Now they just have to be demonized, expelled, and canceled.
Yes.
That's what the Bergoglian Church is up to. That's what it's doing. That's where it is. That's where it is now.
Look where the church was during World War II. A lot of people like to say that the church was involved with the evil Nazis. I don't go there. I don't look at things that way at all. I do think the church at the time was playing a very important role and did play a very important role in ways that still aren't adequately understood in that whole epoch. They were a big player. Go ahead.
Yes, I'm trying to remember his name. The chief rabbi in Rome after the Second World War was over. He became a Catholic, there was a Jewish symphony orchestra that came into the Vatican and performed a concert in the Vatican in honor of and out of gratitude for what Pope Pius XII had done to save so many Jews from persecution of the Nazis. He had saved so many lives. He had an Irish Monsignor. I'm trying to think of the name. Doesn't come to my mind. I think the man has been beatified. Who led an organization, underground organization, that when Jewish people were being apprehended and being sent to the camps, that to rescue these people and to get them out of danger, this Irish priest went far above and beyond the call of duty and put his own life at risk, and some of the people he was working with ended up paying the ultimate price. His role was portrayed by Gregory Peck in a film. The Scarlet and the Black, I think, was the name of the film.
I was a friend of Gregory Peck's son, who tragically took his own life. I used to work with him. Interesting. Nice young man. Gregory Peck is a name you never even hear mentioned anymore. Isn't that odd? Just doesn't have a place in cinema history like you might think. He was a very major star for a long time. I had no idea they made a movie about that. Interesting.
Yes. And I would have looked up the name to recall the name if I knew I was going to bring it up tonight, but I can't remember his name. But
let's look it up here. Chief Rabbi, right? Is that what we're looking for? Chief Rabbi?
No, we're looking for the Irish priest, the Irish Monsignor, who had an organization for saving Jewish people from being rounded up in Rome and in Italy to be sent to camps in Germany.
Monsignor O'Flaherty.
Yes.
Monsignor Hugh O'Flaherty. Right.
Hugh O'Flaherty. Yes. I believe he has been beatified. I think he's blessed, Hugh O'Flaherty, if I recall correctly now.
All right. And he's credited with saving around 6,500 Jews from having to go to the labor camps, et cetera, in the war. So, yeah. Okay.
And the German officer who was over the governing the area of Rome during the occupation, governor. Of Rome during that part of the Second World War, he had at the end when Germany was clearly going to lose, and he feared that his family was going to be annihilated. would be slaughtered. He who had attempted to get rid of Monsignor O'Flaherty himself, he made one request. He said, "You saved so many people. I have one request. Can you?" And he asked for his wife and children to be
saved.
To be taken out of Rome through mm-hmm. that. Like underground railroad that had been set up by Monsignor O'Flaherty, mm-hmm. and Monsignor O'Flaherty, I guess, had pretty much rejected him right on the spot. But what was not expected was that he actually did save the wife and children. He did get them out safely, and
that's the Christian thing to do. That's good. That's rising above all this human geopolitical malignancy that tends to run rampant. So good. That's got a good ending.
And that German officer, his name was Kappler. Uh-huh. He had committed an atrocity. I think more like I think it was 10 for one. If someone killed a German soldier, 10 would have to die as a penalty. And Romans, about 300 Romans were killed in retaliation.
You know what the truth of that is? It's very interesting. They went into the prisons and jails, and the 300 who were, I think it was more than that, 350 maybe, they were all prisoners and criminals and apparently people who were in trouble. They weren't rank-and-file citizens. That's the real story of that. Anyway, you don't hear about that. But good. Good. Okay. Back to Archbishop Vigano. Rather than assign him to Siberia, they'll just excommunicate him, won't they? And he'll be out. You think? Oh, did we lose our guest? Are you still there, Father Kramer? Did we lose him? All right. Father Kramer, can you hear me? No, I guess not. Are we calling back? Okay, thanks. All right, we'll do that. Yeah, there's always so much more. These wartime stories tend to take on a life of their own, and what really happened isn't often as appealing as the drama that the organization pushing these stories wants to hear. And this is terrible things happen in war. Awful. I don't care who it is. If you've any of you done any studying on the Allies and what they did to German civilians, wasn't a whole hell of a lot different than what the Soviet hordes did in the East, but they all turned into beasts. Horrible, horrible things. There was a little documentary I saw the other day. There was a small town in eastern Germany that was about to be overrun by the Soviet hordes, and the Soviets couldn't believe that these big homes they were seeing everywhere weren't occupied by the wealthy elite of these towns. They weren't. They were occupied by normal people. That's how Germans lived. They had nice homes. It looked like upper class to the Soviets, who lived in one- and two-room shacks. So it was quite a scene there. All right, we're working on getting Father Kramer back. If you're listening, Father Kramer, hang up, please, the phone, and we'll be able to reconnect with you. I have a note here. Oh, okay. All right. Are you there now, Father Kramer? Can you hear me? Okay. All right. Well, keep at it. See what we can do. He's on Skype, and Skype is having international difficulties. All right, here, let's see what we can do here for a minute or two. There's some really crazy stories. Just to jump over here on this side of the Atlantic, the upcoming election, 130-some days away already, and still no overt signs of what you would call normal political campaigning for a presidential campaign season and election. I'm seeing nothing. Not that I care, frankly. It's because it's misdirection. They've already made their decision what's going to happen. Biden is leading Trump by 2 points in a Fox News poll. Now, this is really crazy. Biden, who is still claimed to have accumulated 83 million votes to win the last election, 2020, over Trump. More votes than any winning presidential candidate in American history. And if you believe that, you're in trouble, big trouble. So Biden is I don't know who the hell's supporting him. He goes to make an appearance, and he might get 100, 150 people. Most of them are security or are involved with the actual event. It's crazy. So there we go. Just keep watching. You'll see. All right, we have Father Kramer back. Thank you, Todd. Hello, Father Kramer. Are you there? We had him.
We had him.
All right, we're going to have to get him again. By the way, the other story, Biden may decline. This is from Sputnik, the Russian news service. Biden may decline the Democratic nomination if he does poorly in the upcoming debate. This is Seymour Hersh writing, a great writer. Watch the upcoming debate, which I think is it this month? I think it's this month. Let me find out. I'll do the old thing that people do now, and that's look it up. 2024 Biden-Trump debate date. And it is June 27th. It is this month. I was right. 9 p.m. One thing you want to watch is this is all going to be very carefully controlled, and Biden is going to, again, have to be injected like he was for the State of the Union. And he's going to be sky high. They can't keep doing this to him because it doesn't work as well. The more you do it, the less the results. So let's see. But he'll be shot up. He'll have lots of big pharma aid in his physiology to allow him to engage in this. It is said in the State of the Union he was so high that he was still walking around talking to people, and what is an hour and 45 minutes later? Something like that. So he paid for it. He was shown in a little clip a day or two later, just a babbling idiot. So it's all showbiz, dear friends. Yeah. Can you get, is it possible maybe to get him to phone in or call him outside of Skype? See if you can ask him for a number and we'll call him if you can. That's good. Okay. In the meantime, these stories are kind of awful. They're just apocryphal. Now Trump is leading, even though the big word is that his support among Democrats is practically fleeing. Biden is hemorrhaging, says Zero Hedge, voters in all demographics. Women's support now at a 20-year low. So how is he leading, allegedly, 50 to 48? Come on. These things are all fraud. But just remember, in 2015 and 2016, Trump was campaigning for a year and a half hard. It was constant, and we heard it all the time. So, crazy. All right, I'm listening to Todd here. We're trying to get Father Kramer back with a phone line. Skype is being interfered with, be my guess. Appeals court denies Steve Bannon's emergency bid to avoid going to prison. But they give him 4 or 5 months or something like that. So it's pretty crazy out there. Biden, if he's removed, the word was it was going to be Governor Newsom of California. Then I don't think he's got the traction. But it's possible, because when you own the media, you can create almost any kind of an ethos around somebody as you want. So they could rehabilitate him to the extent that you can rehabilitate any communist. I don't know. Just watching it all, like you are. There's some funny things in here. Where was this? Here. Left-leaning outlets amplify their anti-Bitcoin bias following Trump's endorsement. If you can pull back and look at all this, how it's orchestrated, how it's predictable, how it is literally a screenplay, it's a script, then you'll understand things much better. Let's see if I've got a... I think I have a video here I can play. See if I can find it. It was a good one. Where the heck is it? Fox poll. No, that's not it. Forgive me fumbling around here for just a second. Here's another one. Crazy. Texas woman convicted of racially abusing Indian Americans. School apologizes for teaching children that ISIS is a terrorist group after Muslims complain. Crazy. All right. There's a good story here. Off-duty West Virginia firefighter comes to the aid of a Maryland pool party shooting victim. I think he was a black. I think there were some blacks who got a little bit out of control at a pool party, and several people got hurt. Well, let's just jump on down into the bigger story now, since we're waiting. Putin announces that Russia is going to modernize its nuclear arsenal. Pardon me. Now, that said, it's important to know that if anybody's talking about modernizing their nuclear arsenal, it should be this country. We have 50-plus-year-old frontline ICBM defense, 50-year-old rockets. The bets are that many of them won't work. They just won't go anywhere. They're old. They did launch two of them on a test a week and a half ago, something like that. Putin sends clear message to NATO by revising the Russian nuclear doctrine. Putin also said, and no one with a brain will argue with this, that defeating Russia is an impossibility. And it is. They now have the world's most combat-ready, most experienced army. Their military is extraordinary. Their technology is equally as extraordinary. No one's going to defeat the Russians. And if they ever got to the point where they were threatening to do so, that would be the end. It would all go up in a thermonuclear nightmare. There's a sound of possible telephonic communication. Anything, Todd? I heard a beep. Very good. Good job, Todd. Father Kramer, are you there?
I'm here, yes.
Good. Welcome back.
I've been repeatedly disconnected.
Yeah, well, they don't like what you're saying, and it's obvious. So all of you out there listening, know you're getting the truth when that happens. That's invariably the way it works, always. So, okay, we were talking about Tutu Fernandez and his key role in the overthrow of the Church of Rome. And I'm wondering if new doctrine or doctrinal guidelines and rules are being spread out to the rank and file Roman Catholic churches around the world. Are they beginning to change anything that they do to your knowledge? In other words, talking about the Church of Nature or whatever they want to call it, And really, these are really big changes that are coming. Is it down to the local level yet? Do we know?
A major revolution in religious matters is being carried out from Rome, from the Vatican. After the decree forbidding the generally the Latin Roman rite of mass that was for so many centuries since the time of Gregory the Great, we had basically one rite of mass, and that was finally suppressed by Bergoglio, but not totally. There's going to be next month. It is planned for the 16th of July, the total suppression of the Latin Mass to be outlawed nearly entirely, except for organizations that will be allowed to be in the most remote places to have the Latin traditional Catholic Mass.
Got it.
This is just the penultimate stage of abolishing the Mass.
Right.
The reason why they're doing this is because they want to have just one kind of Mass for the entire Church, not just for the Roman Rite, but for all of the Eastern Rites. They want them. They want to force their so-called reform on them, too, so that when the Vatican finally will introduce yet another rite, it mm-hmm. will not be a mass. Mm-hmm. It will be a parody. It will be a caricature.
How okay, I get it. I understand what you're saying. How will the rank and file react to such a radical disemboweling of what is 2,000-year-old history? That's a big deal.
They have... for more than 50 years, or 60 years especially, to be quite accurate, they have been promoting an anti-Christian, paganized approach to religion and morality, so that what they're going to come up with is something that promotes their entirely degenerate worldly way of life, and call that Christianity, call that Catholicism, so that they will be doing basically what Al Capone did when the president of the United States was there in Chicago at a baseball game, and he was booed when it was announced on the public address system that the president was there. And then they announced that Al Capone was present, and the crowd cheered. And he said, "Look, I'm more popular than the president." And he said, "Why? Because I give people what they want."
That's
Jesus
yeah.
Christ had a strict moral code mm-hmm. for his new and everlasting covenant. Just as in the Old Testament, the law of Moses was strict in its morality. Our Lord Jesus Christ himself said that he was not abolishing the law. The moral law remains in place in the Catholic Church for 2,000 years because Jesus Christ himself said he's upholding the moral law. Bergoglio wants to abolish the moral law. He doesn't
erase it. It's gone. It's eradicate the whole thing.
Yeah, he doesn't say that the commandments of God are abolished, but he does in his actions. He treats his honored guests, all those people who favor the abolition of the moral law of the commandments of God, and for those who uphold them. For those who uphold the moral law and the teaching of Christ, like Archbishop Vigano, they're the ones who get sent to the ecclesiastical gulag.
Right.
And it's unfortunately, it's so visible. Bergoglio is completely discrediting himself now, because it is those men in the church, those bishops, cardinals, who uphold Christianity, who uphold mm-hmm. Jesus Christ and his teaching. They're the ones who are being punished. They're the ones who are being neutralized. They're the ones who are being canceled. And anyone who represents degeneracy, immorality, perversion, murder of the unborn, they are the ones who are honored guests. They are the ones who are being given special recognition as if they are mm-hmm. distinguished personages, whereas in reality, those who are the true successors of the apostles, those who are living the truly apostolic life and right. preaching the gospel truth, they are the ones who are being canceled and punished.
Mm-hmm.
And being
so there is there's some bloodletting going on here, is what you're saying. They really are yes. making a big move to clean house of the last of the good people. It sounds like they want traitors, they want Confederates. They don't care about anything anymore. It sounds like they've pulled the trigger on this thing.
That's what they're doing. And because so many people in the world don't understand that these are hijackers. This is a gang of pirates who have taken over the Vatican. This is not the Catholic Church. But people think that this is the Catholic Church.
Right.
The Catholic parishes, the Catholic dioceses are being taken over by Bergoglian clones.
Okay. Bergoglio, he looks like you speak of Capone, he looks like a gangster godfather. If you look at the guy, he looks like a thug. I don't mean to knock people again, but he just fits the role. He fits the role of what he's doing, his appearance, his demeanor. It's quite interesting.
Well, do you remember that film, The Godfather?
Sure.
doesn't he look like that individual?
He does. That's why I'm saying this. He looks like he looks like an Italian godfather, a thug,
and he talks like the godfather.
Yeah, it's pretty sick. All right, I have a couple things here that I think someone has submitted to both of us, and it's about, it says, update, key details revealed about the coming Latin Mass final solution. What is that pertaining to? What's the final solution? The end of the Mass itself? The reformatting of the Mass?
Not just yet. The total reformatting of the Mass is coming next. But first, the total suppression of the Latin Mass, the traditional Latin Mass, which is the authentic Roman Rite of Mass.
Uh-huh.
First, that is going to be totally outlawed, and that will be that is planned for the 16th of July next month. That's the next month, 16th of next month. And then I would think that when the synod, the last major assembly of the session of the synod,
right,
is concluded in October, I think shortly after that you're going to have the total suppression of the Catholic Mass entirely.
Well,
and they're going to bring out a new totally perverted rite that will be a different religion entirely than anything Catholic. And it won't be Catholic, it won't be Christian, it's going to be something entirely counterfeit.
Have we seen, Father Kramer, the last of, and I include the church in this, and certainly the the pedestrian side of things. Have we seen the last Christmas? Christmas this year may be quite a bit different than it has been. It sounds like things are being changed on a wholesale basis now. They're moving forward quickly.
It's hard for me to say for sure that we've seen the last Christmas in 2024, but I think 2025, for sure, we're going to be living, for those of us who survive, we'll be living in a different world.
Amen.
Because, like I said before, the stage is now set for a world war.
How do you personally feel about that in terms of the chances for that happening? Now, I've been told by my one very well-placed source that Europe is going to be the central point for the majority of the human sacrifice in the coming war. It's going to primarily be in Europe. Europe will run with blood, more so than the U.S., if the U.S. is involved at all. I don't have that in writing or in any other way, but Europe is apparently going to really suffer. That's what it looks like. Are you seeing that over there?
Yes, Europe will be the first major target. And with NATO missiles now targeting, hitting targets in Russia, this war that the media presents as a war between Russia and Ukraine, which is not that at all, it's a war between NATO, the United States, and Russia, the United States, England, France, and Russia. And Russia is now being targeted. Unfortunately, what this war is doing is that rogue state with the government that has taken over Ukraine, they are annihilating, exterminating the Ukrainian nation.
Correct. This is a Zionist operation. We need to hasten to put that on the table. The Zelensky government is entirely Zionist Jewish. You know what they've done to the Eastern Orthodox. In fact, they had a monastery there. Was it a monastery? I think it was. Anyway, that's gone. Another political opposition party, these are minute little parties, has been outlawed by Zelensky. They're two countries in the world overtly run by Jewish regimes, Israel and Ukraine. And Ukraine is where the ancient Khazarian Empire was largely located. And that the Khazars, remember, were not ethnically, genetically Jewish from the times of the Bible and Christ. They adopted Judaism in the 600s as the formal official state religion. And then when the Khazarian Empire was collapsed, overrun, they all took off with their calling themselves Jews. They were actually light-skinned Eastern Europeans, and they went to Europe, and they've been at it ever since. So it's important to understand that there is some feeling that Ukraine belongs to the Jews. It's there, whether it'll overtly happen or not. But if Zelensky is half the tyrant, multisexual tyrant that I think he is, he has already successfully overseen the death, the liquidation of at least 1 million Ukrainian men and women in the war against Russia. They're not sending Jews to the front lines, believe me. 1 million Christian dead. And this is to get rid of the opposition. It's another burnt offering, so to speak. I'm speaking for myself, not Father Kramer. But yes, Europe is apparently the primary target of what's ahead. That's what we hear. Final comment, Father Kramer.
Unfortunately, it doesn't end there. because the Zelensky regime, the criminal regime, propped up by the counterfeit American president Biden and his regime, they're proposing a final a desperate measure, which is to draft old men and women into the army and to slaughter them. Now,
teenage girls. Teenage girls, friends, no joke.
That means when you you're going to have the extermination of these girls and young women. That's the extermination of a nation, because the men, die, you have the women who can be the mothers of the next generation of the nation. But you exterminate the young women and the girls. That's the extermination of a nation. That is the total genocide. That is to erase that nation and wipe them off the face of the earth. And that is what is being done.
14 million Ukrainians have already fled the Zelensky Zionist regime and the death of that country. And that's a fact. Father Kramer, thank you very much for hanging in there. We got you back on. We'll talk to you again shortly. You be safe, and we look forward to it.
Okay, well, hopefully I'll still be here.
I expect you to. All right. Good night, my friend. Take care.
Why not?
All right. That's our program for Friday. Weekend ahead. There are lots of things to think about, but I understand if you want to just shut it all off. You can't be sane and carry this stuff around all the time, so... have fun. Enjoy that family. And every time your child smiles at you, you'll remember that. It's very important. Talk soon. Take care.